Oh yeah, this is the Le Breakdown Podcast, coming to you from London, UK, March 11th, 2014. And for those of you who don't know, this is a podcast where we break down every single LeBron James basketball game the day after it's played, because I'm crazy like that, and because I have NBA League Pass, and because I live 5 hours ahead of all y'all. Actually, I don't know where you're listening from, but I live 5 hours ahead of NBA schedule, minimum. So I'll be checking out these games the day after they're played at my leisure, which is lovely. Skipping the free throws, and thank goodness I don't have to sit through watching the refs going over replays. I mean, how many times do these guys need to see it? It's incredible. I mean, you'll see one or two replays. It should be good enough, guys. They gotta look at it like 20 times. It takes 2-3 minutes. Insane. They should have a shot clock on the refs for checking the replay. I think that would make the replays much more interesting. Right? And you know what else I thought of? Just before we get into this little breakdown, just a basketball thought. Why can't the coaches have a challenge like they do in the NFL? Wouldn't that be great if you could challenge certain parts of the game, certain calls, certain missed calls? Just, you know, throw something onto the court or, you know, flip up a switch on your bench and a light goes off, signaling the challenge. And you get, because timeouts are big in basketball. Or how about this? If you're wrong, you give up a technical. How about that? I'll take that. I think the challenge needs to come to all sports, all right? It's super exciting in football. It's ridiculously exciting in tennis when the players get to challenge. And I think that all sports need to have that aspect of it. I mean, give some control to the athletes and the management. Why does it just have to be the refs in there? Come on, it's 2014 now. It's not 1950. We don't need this holier-than-thou man-in-a-uniform thing. All right, so that's my little rant. Let's get into this game. The Heat, obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably know they're coming off of 3 straight losses. I mean, they did play against a couple of good squads in Houston and San Antonio. But then they lost to the Bulls as well. Who are not a bad squad, but they, you know, the Heat should be able to beat them. And LeBron's been kind of stinking it up. He had that 61-point game and then 3 straight poo-poo games. nothing too impressive. So I was expecting a big performance in this one. They're playing against the Wizards at home. And, no, the Wizards are a good team. They've got some talented players. I wouldn't say they're a very good team, but they definitely have talented players. And they're surging a bit right now. And to be honest, I'm kind of hoping for a Heat victory, even though I usually root against them, because Raptors lost today, or last night, and I watched it earlier, and the Wizards are right behind them. So I'd like to see Miami do us a favor. They couldn't do us a favor against the Bulls, so let's do us a favor against the Wizards. All right, so first quarter. We start out, and I'm thinking, oh boy, here goes another special LeBron James game. 10-19, drains a right wing three. 9:53, he gets stripped on the ground, but recovers and kicks it over to Chalmers for a score. Or not to Chalmers, to D-Wade for a score. Then 8:24 mark, drains a left corner three. Next Miami possession, drains a right corner three. That's 3 for 3. 3 threes in a row, you know, 9-0 run for LeBron, thinking, all right, you know, so I'm starting to watch the replays and take some meticulous notes, because I'm thinking he's about to break us off something special. But the Wizards, they were somewhat relentless in the first part of this game, for a lot of this game. They were tough to handle, particularly in this first quarter. Marcin Gortat, I'm about to go off on Gortat in a minute. He went crazy, all right? The Wizards had 11 offensive rebounds in the first 9 minutes. Right? Gortat with 10, seven of the offensive boards were Gortat's. He had 10 in total in the first 9 minutes. So he's already looking at a double-double coming out of the first quarter almost. I don't think he quite had the points. I think he had 9 points or 8 points. The Wizards, from so many rebounds, they had taken 14 more shots than the Heat. Late in the first quarter, I think the shot difference was 26 shots for the Wizards, 12 for the Heat, but they're still losing by one because they were missing a bunch of them and getting the rebound. So they were down 2019. LeBron with a decent quarter. I mean, to be honest, I don't give him enough props for his passing anymore. I kind of skipped them over. I feel like I went over it a lot in earlier the breakdowns, but I guess people might be new to this, so I should go on and on and gush about it. He did have some beautiful passes, just setting up teammates out of double teams, which he's amazing at, and I've gone and on for hours about that on this podcast before. But he did have 5 assists in the quarter and 4 rebounds. Let me break you off some of my boy Drew Gooden. I'm going to talk a little bit about him to start the second quarter. Drew Gooden, I've been a big fan of his for a long time. He played for Kansas. I liked him there. I played for the Cavaliers when LeBron was a rookie. Liked him there. And not only that, he is the nephew of one of my idols from when I was a kid, Dwight Doc Gooden, pitcher for the Mets. I'm not sure if the record still stands, but when I was following baseball closely, he was the youngest ever Cy Young Award winner. And a 20-game winner at like the age of 20 or 21, and won a World Series in 1986 with the New York Mets, one of my most beloved teams of all time. You know, they're right up there with the 87 and 88 Oilers, and pretty much every Raptor squad for the last 10 years. I hold them all dear to my heart. So Drew Gooden, I'm a fan of, and he's on his second day contract with the Wizards. It's a shame that he's going to be on 10-day contracts, because I always said that guy brings it. He's like Tyler Hansbrough, but with more skill. No offense to Tyler Hansbrough, but he's got a little bit more range for some reason, Drew Gooden. But he's tenacious. He goes hard, right? Sometimes he makes mistakes, but it's always out of effort. So Drew Gooden, in this game, I haven't seen him play in a couple of years from what I can remember. Or it's been a long time, at least, since I've seen him get significant minutes. He hit a deep jumper, not diva, you know, 12, 15-foot jumper in the first quarter. Kind of raised my eyebrows. I thought, oh, good for him. Starts off the second quarter with a deep two from the left wing at the end of the shot clock, right on an inbounds play. Then he hits a straightaway three, which totally surprised me. Then he drains a short two from the right block on a nice play off the dribble. He has to dribble, go from, you know, left side of the... Left. I don't know why I said you know. Why would you know? You don't know what's happening. Let me explain. Gets the pass, dribbles, goes from left side of the key to the right side, and then pulls up for like a 5-foot jumper. So just props to this guy. I mean, I'm just impressed. 10-day contract, and he's pouring it on, doing great. 6:40 mark is when LeBron comes back, and I didn't mention the Heat. Sorry, we're up 31-23 after the first quarter. LeBron sits the first 5.5 minutes, comes back in, and the Heat had given most of the lead back. They were still up 2, 38-36. I think D-Wade, who's a big story in this game, D-Wade had a lovely and one right away. 4:56 mark, LeBron scores on a sweet drive going left to right. I think he got fouled. There was definitely contact. I don't know how the refs decide to call those sometimes. He definitely took a bump and finished. No call. 4:37. Strange play here. LeBron fills the passing lane for the steal, which is normal. He does that a couple of times a game. But John Wall, who was somewhat even with him on the play, just slightly ahead of him, sprints back, reads his move, picks a spot, and just gets run over. And now I know why they call it, or why I call it, and I guess a lot of the announcers call it the freight train, is because it looked like he got hit by a train. LeBron absolutely pummeled him. But did get called for the charge. So a beautiful play by Wall. Definitely sacrificing his body. I mean, I'll tell you what. I just pictured LeBron. Just imagine that man bearing down on you at full speed, and you're trying to step in front of him and then be stationary and let him smash into you. Jeez. I don't think I'd get up for a week. And I don't think I would ever be the same after taking a charge from him. I think I would physically change. So anyways, a beautiful play by Wall. 14 seconds later, LeBron picks up a turnover by the Wizards. They turn over, I think it was Ariza, turns it over on the dribble. He picks it up, tries to freight train, but this time he gets blocked by Gortat. I thought he hit the side of the backboard, but he actually got blocked. So tough little stretch there. Probably the only tough stretch I think LeBron had this game. 3:48 mark. Drives, misses, tips in his own miss nicely. 2:37 mark, kind of a weird play. He tries to dunk, but Gortat cuts off the rim, and he sort of still dunks, but he doesn't put it through the rim. He kind of dunks it on the back rim, and it squirts up and kind of takes a couple of bounces and goes in. So still kind of a dunk, I guess. I don't know what you really call that. Because he put his hands on the rim and everything. It's almost basket interference, kind of, but not really. I don't know. It was a weird play. 2:37 of the second quarter mark, if you're curious, if you want to look at it. I know I'm not describing it well. The 2:01 mark, he gets a great pass from Bosch for the dunk. Bosch also had a great game. And then the 1:34 mark, he hits a lefty hook from the left block. He was starting to run things from the post, LeBron. He basically started to take over the game there. And he had 10 straight points in this little stretch that I'm describing. Really nice lefty hook, too. He kind of brushed that over, but definitely back to the basket, went into the hooking motion, then turned to see exactly where he was and laid it up softly. And if you ever try to do that, you know how hard it is. I don't care how tall you are. Try to do it on something your head height. It's still hard, especially with someone in front of you. So the Heat take an 8-point lead, 53-45. LeBron, very solid first half. And again, I'm still thinking that something ridiculous is going to happen because he has 19 points, 8 of 10 from the field, 3 of 3 on threes. I don't have the rest of his stats because, like I said, I can't check box scores at halftime. But, you know, I go with what they give me. And that was pretty sick start. 11:44 mark of the third quarter. So 16 seconds in. Starts with a great steal with the Wizards trying to work it on a bounce line, baseline pass. And it was a bounce pass, too. So he had to get down low and steal that ball. And that's a tough thing to do. So I'm impressed with the 6'8 man getting his hand down to the floor to make the steal. And then at 11:27, he forces Gortat, who's a big boy, but he just gets his hands up. And there was a double team, and Gortat just wings the ball over the head of, can't remember, one of the Wizards, wings it over his head out of bounds. So forces the turnover there. And looking like LeBron again, you know, I'm super excited. I'm thinking of calling someone, being like, yo, you know, but I can't call anyone because everyone's already probably seen it or heard about it. So 8:03 mark, right about 3 minutes later, LeBron gets a really nice alley-oop pass from Chalmers and just kind of misses it. I mean, it was high, but, you know, guys like LeBron or Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, they eat that stuff up, you know, especially kind of an off alley-oop pass, and wasn't able to squeeze it and just kind of goes off the backboard. And then it was kind of the marching Gortat show for a couple of minutes. He went off. Gortat went absolutely off. Listen to this. I know this is a breakdown, but I was compelled to take notes, so I'm going to tell you about it. He has a beautiful block on Chalmers on the fast break. It's just them one-on-one, and I've seen Chalmers do this to tons of people, get them off balance and lay it in. But he stays with it, blocks them. He goes the other way, drives the floor hard, gets the off, and like, who was it? John Wall tries to lay up. Gortat dives and off the wall miss, dives to the floor, calls timeout to save the possession. 16 seconds later, he gets another offensive rebound and tip in for Gortat. So it's 59-55, keeping it a 4-point game. Just absolute gorgeous run for the big man. And then Battier makes a great play. I think unless you play, you don't know how hard this is, but he gets blocked taking a three, which is rare, but the ball goes right back to him, and without putting it on the floor, he just goes right back up with it and drains it. Really tough shot. So I'm impressed that he was able to find his rhythm on that. 3:40 mark. Kind of a low light for LeBron. Don't see this happen very often. I think it might have happened once earlier this season, but I don't remember. Martell Webster, deep in the left corner, gets fouled by LeBron, shooting the three, and hits the shot. So that's, LeBron giving up. First of all, fouling someone taking a three. Fouling anyone at any time is unusual for LeBron, but taking a three, very unusual. And then the guy still being able to drop it in, very impressive. And for those of you who don't know, Martell Webster, back in the day, he was kind of like LeBron. He was touted as a LeBron at one point. Back in, you know, when I was fairly young, you know, I can't remember what, maybe I was 19, 20, I used to buy every Slam magazine, read every issue. And he was one of those high schoolers featured, you know, that everyone was really excited about, that this guy's going to come in and be the top player. And, you know, he hasn't, I wouldn't say he's had a disappointing career. He's been good. And I think it's cool that he's still around. He was certainly, certainly thought that maybe a couple of All-Star games might be in his future. So very nice play by him. Nice to see Martell Webster hitting that shot and finishes it with the free throw. LeBron, 3:22 mark, hitting the side of the backboard, trying to drive to the right side. He felt like he got hit, but I couldn't quite tell. I mean, LeBron always feels like he got hit. And that actually led to a fast break the other way and a dunk by Martell Webster. So a 6-0 sort of Martell Webster run. That gave the Wizards the lead. But at the 42nd mark, LeBron, a gorgeous tip-in. Norris Cole trying a shot from the right corner and LeBron slashing in from the left side. He jumps and he's drifting right and he just reaches back with his left hand and softly tips it in. Not using the backboard or anything. Really, really beautiful athletic play. However, at the one point, with 1.4 seconds to go, I mean, the Heat had the ball with about 20 seconds left, and LeBron drives and just throws it well out of bounds, baseline. He's trying to hit someone in the corner, but the pass wasn't really near the corner. So only 2 points for LeBron in the queue on 1 of 4 shooting. Not overly impressive, and the Heat give up their lead, and the score is tied, 73-all, which, surprisingly, is the first time. You know, the Heat have played, the Heat have played 61 games. First time, apparently, this season that they've been tied going into the fourth quarter. I realize it's not that big deal, but it's mildly interesting, so I'll throw it out there. Fourth quarter starts, and my boy Andre Miller. I've been waiting to talk about him. You know how I love going on about Andre Miller. What is he, 35, 36, 37? Can't jump, never could. You know, like, just crafty, clever, basketball IQ, timing, handle. You know, he's able to score in the paint. I just love this guy. I just love this guy. And he was doing damage. He had he had a gorgeous move in the paint for his own score, and then a great move to draw two defenders and then dish it off to, who was it? I think it was to Gortat. Was it? No. Another guy. Actually, it was to Gooden. Drops it off to Gooden for the dunk. And Gooden, by the way, had 3 buckets to start the quarter. He missed one shot, and then he had 2 deep jumpers and that dunk. So the Wizards actually were starting to come back and build a little bit of a lead, but the Heat also were staying hot. And Ray Allen, I think, drained a three, and Norris Cole hit a running shot. So LeBron comes back in. He gets a long rest. He comes back in at the 5:40 mark with the Heat up 84-83, a one-point game. And as soon as LeBron comes back in, D-Wade, who was having a great game already, just went off. D-Wade absolutely just took over this game. And again, I know this is LeBreakdown, but I'm calling it like I'm seeing it. D-Wade, first of all, as soon as LeBron comes back in, the second he's on the floor, beautiful and one, driving left to right, brings it up, brings it back down, finishes with a reverse layup on the right side with the right hand. Absolutely gorgeous. And that gives the Heat the lead, 86-84. So did he make the free throw? I don't remember. I wrote down 86-84, but I'm pretty sure he made the free throw. Then at the 4:58 mark, D-Wade, crazy block on Drew Gooden. Like, John Wall and Gooden worked the pick and roll beautifully, and Gooden was going in for the dunk, and D-Wade turned him away. Like, sent that ball right back into the midcourt, and the Heat break on the play. D-Wade on the ensuing possession, with a great pass to LeBron in the paint. LeBron gets the dunk. Then at the 3:14 mark, D-Wade with the drive and layup. He's in on 18. Get this. He's in on 18 of the Heat's last 20 points. And then to top it off, 1:49 mark, 13-foot jumper to fully ice the game. Gives the Heat a 10-point lead, 97-87. And it was just basically the D-Wade show. That was ball game. Heat wind up winning it 99-90. And let's take a look at this box score. Quickly, the Wizards. Fairly disappointing. Trevor Ariza, 2 of 11, 1 of 7 from 3. He's been a fairly hot 3-point shooter lately. So he just could not find the range. Marcin Gortat, you're wondering how he did. Well, he finished 7 of 15, 14 points, which is good. But 18 big rebounds, which is solid. However, only 8 in the last 3 quarters after getting 10 in the first. Would have liked to have seen a little bit more out of him. And John Wall, he had a stinker. as far as a number one pick is concerned. Minus 19 on the floor, only 7 points, 2 of 8. He had 8 assists, but 7 turnovers. 7 big, yucky turnovers. That's going to stand out. And the last wizard I'll mention is my boy Drew Gooden. He had a good game, 7-12, 15 points, playing on a second-day contract. Someone pick that guy up for the playoffs. Why don't you? And Martell Webster, too. I'll give you a shout-out. 17 points on 9 shots, 4 of 8 from 3. Pretty solid, including that nifty 4-point play. But the Miami Heat looking incredibly solid as a team, shooting 50% overall. Battier, 2 of 3. Chris Bosh, 10 of 14. D. Wade, 8 of 17. Anderson, 3 of 5. Beasley was 2 of 6. And Ray Allen, 5 of 9. The only blemishes was the backcourt. The backcourt was 0 of 11. Norris Cole and Mario Chalmers, 0 of 11 combined. A couple of donuts there. But Mario Chalmers still managed to be a plus 13 on the floor. And I skipped over one guy, the big boy, the subject of the podcast, LeBron. 10 of 15, 23 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, 3 turnovers, but makes up for it with 3 steals. Very solid performance by the big man. And let's break it down on the scale. On offense, I've already broken this down, but just to give it, you know, just to give you the minutia. LeBron, on the offense, out of 4, this is how I do it, out of 4, he's getting a solid 3.5. I mean, the turnovers were a bit ugly, especially that one late in the third. And, in fact, you know what? I'm knocking him down. I'm giving him a 3 just for that one. That's worth a half point. And just so you know, LeBron, there's no way he's getting 30 a 4 without 30 points. That's it. I don't care how efficient he is. I don't care if he goes 9 for 9. You got to get 30 points to get a 4. And this is on the scale. This is not for everyone. So remember, he set his own standard. So allow him to be graded by it, those of you who are complaining about this. So he's getting a 3 on the offense. On defense, he looked very solid. Very solid. Had some nice steals and no blocks, but definitely changed some shots and forced some turnovers. So I'm giving him a 3.5 out of 4. And the wow factor, nothing particularly stood out except for that run in the beginning. So I'm going to give him a 1 on the wow factor. So that's 3 and 3.5 and 1. Which makes what, folks? 7.5. Solid. Solid outing for LeBron. And like I said, for any other player, it's a 10. Obviously, it's a great game for anyone else. But for LeBron, this is a 7.5. Okay, he can do better. And he didn't have to. I mean, D-Wade definitely put the team on his shoulders late. But still, this is the breakdown. And I'm calling out his performances. So the Heat get a win. They needed that one. It's the first time in 4 games that they were able to pick one up. So nice to have a somewhat softer opponent at home. They improved to 44-17. And their next game is against the Brooklyn Nets on Wednesday. So hopefully the Nets, who just knocked off my Raptors, can keep that winning form and take it to the Heat. Because I'm not... I need some sort of redemption for the Raptors losing to them. And to be honest, they're a very talented squad. I guess obviously I'll be talking about them a ton in the next La Breakdown. So thanks for checking this one out. We'll see y'all on Thursday. Solid game from the King. And solid podcast, I think. This one felt pretty good. All right, y'all. Thanks for checking us out. Peace.